I don't believe that we ever gather together by coincidence. And so the people that are here tonight, 6 o'clock in Shalimar, Florida, at Shalimar United Methodists, God has a reason for us being together. So I'd like to just pray with that in mind, that someone or everyone here is here for a reason. And let us listen to what the Lord is going to say in our worship together. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for this time to worship. We thank you for the opening of your word that we just heard. What a compelling word, that there was the power of your Holy Spirit, that there was grace among the people, that there was such a spirit of unity that no one had need. That's hard for us to imagine what it would be like to live in such generosity that no one had need. But stir our hearts, stir our minds, so that we can see from this reading from Acts how we can be like that, how we can be unified, how we can see people and see how we can share Jesus with every person we meet. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to start with just asking something. There is someone here in Shalimar that has mobility issues, and they need light bulbs in their home. In fact, they've been sitting in the dark night after night because no one comes to change their light bulbs, and they're not able to do it. So with that being the situation, I want to ask you tonight, what should we do? Should we form a committee and talk about whether we could come up with a way to meet this need? And we can have 4 or 5 of us just stay here and form a committee, and we could just say, what should we do? And what kind of precedent are we setting if we go and we help a person with a light bulb? We could just discuss. I'm being silly. I don't know if y'all picked up on that. We could form a committee. Or we could send it to our finance committee and say, hey, do we have the money to go out and purchase a light bulb? Can I get reimbursed if I do that? And we can let the finance committee decide what kind of bulb and everything we can buy. That would be silly too, wouldn't it? Or one of us here could just say, you know, if I know the person and I know the address, I will be glad as soon as this service is over to go and change that light bulb for them. I can be nimble and I can have that light bulb on in no time. I'm guessing that how many of you would be willing to go change a light bulb for somebody if you knew they were sitting in the dark every night? How many of you? That's what I thought. It's absurd that we would not just meet that need if we knew about it. Well, this series has been a series to help us to see the obvious. This church has been around since 1951. And this church was founded so people could come to know Jesus. And as we look at our church's future and the keys to the kingdom, unlocking our church's future, we are proclaiming that the very reason this church was founded is to help people come to know Jesus Christ. And people respond to deeds more than they respond to words. Sometimes our words can confuse people. But deeds of shalom, we've called them, do not confuse people. They surprise people. They help people experience love when they haven't felt love. And so this series has been offered in hopes that we will live differently. That we, like Peter and John, when we see a person in need, that our eyes will make contact with their eyes. and that we will seek to offer them help and indeed a shalom to introduce them to Jesus Christ. And it may be that our deed speaks for itself. It could be that we'll have an opportunity to say something about the deed while we did it, but we do the deed for the kingdom's sake. And so this church, as we look to the future, this is what's going to make a difference for our church. Looking at people, noticing people, seeing how we can respond to people in Jesus' name with simple deeds and maybe profound deeds. It doesn't matter. Some of the simple deeds we offer to people that might just take us a few minutes can change a whole person's trajectory for life. So this is what we are here to talk about tonight, the deeds that we can do to make a difference. Now, just a quick review. I'm not going to put them on the screen tonight, but some of the things that we've covered so far in this series are, it's pretty basic. Keys to the kingdom, unlocking our church's future. Love Jesus. Love people. That's where it all starts. Loving Jesus, loving people. We see people differently if we're loving Jesus. And we need help. We need the Holy Spirit to help us. And in the early church, in the book of Acts, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that made all these phenomenal things possible as people love one another, as they loved in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit gave them power to do incredible things. We have to take care of our own spiritual life so we grow up, so to speak. And we see that in the book of Acts, that we grow in the Word, we grow in our prayers, we grow in our service, we grow. And so we make sure that we're growing. We grow in our devotional life, in our prayer life. Each day, we make plans to grow every day. It's a part of our everyday life. God never meant for us to grow as a Christian in a vacuum. We need each other. So we grow out. We grow out to others. And as we grow out to others, we help them and they help us. We grow as we reach out to others. And amazingly, as we love Jesus, love people, as we're filled up with the Holy Spirit, as we grow up and we grow out, we grow together in a deeper unity. That's kind of a quick review. Sometimes we have to take risk. Sometimes we have to leave our comfort zone, but God rewards us when we're willing to venture out of our comfort zone to help another person, to respond to another person. Well, the three things I want to share with you in tonight's message are very simple. I think you'll remember these is, you can do this. You can do these deeds of shalom. They can be a part of your everyday life. You can do it. And if we will do these deeds of shalom, we're going to lead people to Jesus. And this church is going to grow in a way like it's not ever grown before. And you can do it. I can do it. We can all do it. A second point I'll make is we all have a role in sharing our witness. It's not the same role for everybody. I think I may be the only pastor in the room tonight. My role is different, but your role is just as important as my role. That's the way it was in the book of Acts. Everybody's work for God was indispensable. And Paul would teach later that those who might have a less visible or what might be considered a less significant part, everybody is significant in God's work. Everybody has a role. And then thirdly, everybody can respond. And our church, this is what is a challenge for us. We can go on and we can say, well, pockets of people will take care of this and love people as Jesus wants us to love them. We can have individuals do this. We can have pockets of our congregation. Or we can have our whole congregation. Now, which is going to have greater influence for Christ when we have all of our congregation involved in these deeds of shalom? So we can all respond. So let's start with the first one. We can all do this. You can do it. I can do it. God will equip every one of us to do it. Now, this is football season. And, you know, when you're cheering for your sports team, something happens when we're in a crowd cheering for the same team. We have a connection. We feel like we're a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And we have a unity. When we hear those warm chants, like the Seminole, I don't know if I can do that Seminole chop. I don't know that I can do it, Ben. But there are those that once that Seminole chop starts, it just draws people in. And I know, and this hurts me to say this, Roll Tide. Oh, I did it. See, sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone. War Eagle comes easy for me. And the Gator Chomp, you know, some of you, and LSU and Arkansas, and we've got many. Who did you say? Go Cats. We've got so many in our congregation, so many different teams. But my point is one of the reasons college football captivates us is because it unifies people around these symbols, these war chants, these colors, the team colors. It unifies us and it connects us, and it's a part of something bigger than we are. Now, I love college football, but college football cannot light a candle to the power the church possesses. We have the potential, as we grow in Christ, to have the strongest unity on the face of the earth. No other unity stronger than ours. We have the possibility, because of Jesus Christ, to be connected to other people in the church like never before. And we, because of Jesus Christ, we are a part of something that is bigger than ourselves. And we can do this. You can do it. I can do it. We can be a part of this body of Christ that leads others to Jesus. And it grows the church as a result of what we're doing. Now, the second point is that we all have a role in this. We all have a role. I have a role in this as a pastor. But it is the laity that have the more significant roles as to whether this really happens in everyday life and as we see people and as we witness to people. And sometimes when we offer this deed of shalom, the door cracks and we have an opportunity to share our faith. We have an opportunity to share with a person why we did what we just did. I've asked Leor to come and share with us about this part of everybody having a role, and in particular, how we respond when the door opens and we have this opportunity. Lee, would you come and share? And Lee is just an outstanding layperson in our congregation. I love this man. And I invite him to come and share in this point of the sermon.
Can you hear me? That sound good? No? How about now? Do I need to start over?
We'll figure this. There you go.
You're
there
good.
You go. I have arrived. I have arrived. Thank you, Pastor, very much. I feel blessed tonight. I get to talk about one of my favorite roles in the church, and that is faith sharing. And it's something that I am just compelled to do, and I love to do, and I've been gifted with the possibility and availability to do this very thing. Again, to repeat, we're talking about getting the keys to God's kingdom, opening up this door, being intentional about growing in our faith and growing in our church. And I believe unless and until we get comfortable sharing our faith, the door may be closed. Now, the starting point is real simple, and I think everybody here has got it. You have to have faith to share faith. If you're here tonight and you read the Bible, you have faith, and you can proceed with being a very effective person who shares their faith. So I tried to think how I may put this together in just a few minutes, because I've been doing it for so long, I sometimes get confused as to where and when I'm successful. I've thought about a few points, a few principles of faith sharing to share with you, and how some of this witness has resulted, and I believe in planting a seed. Faith sharing often presents itself as preparing a seed, not some traumatic, transformational act. But it's something we can do locally in our group and our communities. So in no particular order, these are things that stick with me when I talk about faith sharing. When I first started, I feared failure. I thought, what if I want to talk about something that's so near to dear to me, but they don't want to listen? They don't want to have anything to do with it. You may have been there already. Well, I get comfort from Jesus saying this in Matthew 10:14. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. Wow, that's comforting to know. Because I'm going to give you two brief experiences, one of success and one of rejection. Just to let you know, this is going to happen in your faith-sharing journey. One is my barber. So I've been going to this man for the longest time, and he loves to talk. So we get on the issue of churches, spirituality. He talks about everything, so when he did that, I perked my ears up. I said, God, this is my chance. And I said, I want to welcome you to Shalimar United Methodist Church. We have a strong body of Christ. We have a strong faith. You're most welcome. No, you're just a hypocrite. Oh, that caught me off guard. Well, what do you mean? All Christians are hypocrites. I said, well, would you please try our shirt? Try our church. I think you'll find it different. No, I've been to many of them, and they're all the same. So I shook the dust off my feet, and I left the man. I haven't been back, but he wasn't a very good barber anyway. But now, moving forward, just a few weeks ago, I had a colonoscopy. No one likes to hear about that, but as you get older, you'll have to experience that. There was this wonderful attending nurse. I had her name, but I just forgot it. Anyway, we're talking about a number of things because the waiting period is like 2 hours. I like to talk. I like to share my faith. And she said, I don't have a church. Wow, what a bingo for me. I don't have a church. I said, well, let me share something about Shalimar United Methodist Church, which is in and of itself a beautiful place to go to worship, and many people welcome you, and we'd love to have you come. And she said she might be here. So there was an opening. Never fear that you're going to be rejected. The other thing is never miss an opportunity to share your faith because you don't know necessarily what to say. Bothered me in the beginning, doesn't bother me now. Because when you share your faith, you see someone is in distress, you feel the opportunity is there, what am I going to say? He is going to give you the words. I mean, literally. Case in point. Go to this party in Georgia. A friend of mine's wife is retiring. A big party all over this large house. It's an immense house. Everybody's inside. Something turned us to look outside at a table, and this woman sat there crying, really crying. I looked at my wife. She looked at me. We got to go out there. What are we going to say? I don't know. Well, let's see what God has to say. So we walked out there and sat near her for a moment of silence and said simply, is there something we can help you with? Is it something you need? Well, I will tell you the whole story. But she had this lousy husband. She used different words that day, and I can't use them here. I mean, she really described this guy as a cad, okay? And as a result, I've lost. He emptied all our bank accounts out. He left it. I'm standing here. I can't stand this. And our favorite response, my wife and I at that point, is you don't have to do it alone. Because that'll provoke the question, what do you mean? She said, what do you mean? Try prayer. Try believing in a higher power. Try and believe that you don't have to do this alone. She meditated for a moment. We prayed with her, and she left with a smile. I hope we planted a seed. Make your sharing of your faith personal. Make it relevant. I'm an inveterate storyteller. I love to tell stories, okay? And when I sit with someone and they're broken, and we've been talking about how we're feeling this day, okay? And they say, well, this and that has happened to me. I have the ability to often think about something where I was broken and had the same experience. So I say, Joe or Betty, I've been down that road. Here's the same problem you had. Describe it to them because I'm open up to them, taking it into my confidence and saying there is a way to get around this. I want to share with you how I do this by prayer, again, by my faith, by believing there's someone more powerful than just you and I. And if you go way back in history to John Wesley, you know, Methodism was started by what they called class meetings. You know what they did? They got together in smaller rooms than this, 8, 10, 12 people. Every week, John Wesley said, how is it with your soul this week? He wanted to know if you had any God sightings. He wanted to know if there's things about Jesus you wanted to say. And they would share that. They would share that faith. And then when they go out to other people and share that faith, and these class meetings would grow to enormous numbers. Today, there's millions of Methodists. If you're ever lost for words, one of my favorite sharings of faith is called the Ministry of Presence. And I have a beautiful story to tell you there. And sometimes I get lost for words. In this case, my dear friend is in hospice care in South Carolina, dying from throat cancer, literally days to live. The story is about someone else, but such a remarkable story, I want to share it with you. So this friend of my friend comes in, and he comes in every night in his last week or two. He just grabbed my friend's hand and sits there. This story is told to me by my friend's wife. She said when he would come out of a coma, he would merely say, I love you, and I'm here. I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere. And he did that for an hour. That story was so remarkable, so powerful, that today, my friend's wife still tells that as a great example of sharing your faith. I also have a great friend in Karen, and sometimes she shares her faith with me when we see people. The one example I showed was, and to go through it again, remember the one with the person outside the party. What I mean is, if you find a dear Christian who wants to go with you and share your faith, or if your spouse, lucky, I've got a beautiful spouse. She's got this likability factor that I can't even imagine. People tell her all kinds of things. I'm going, where'd that come from? But it's a beautiful gift to have. And I know we do that here in this church. We have wonderful youth groups, wonderful Sunday school classes, children's groups. We have groups like Stephan Minister that always share in our faith. So in conclusion, I'm agreeing with Pastor Philip. It's like we're going to mimic our words. We're all in this together. My opinion, the pastoral leadership on this subject of keys to God's kingdom from the pulpit goes down to us. It's our responsibility. Everybody to share their faith, to share the gospel. And it has to become a way of Christian life and being obedient to God. And I think we'll open up the God's kingdom. Because you never know when a seed is planted and you have this wonderful, abundant harvest in God's kingdom. So let's think of the famous shoe slogan when we go forward. Just do it. Just do it.
All right. Thank you, Lee.
Then we'll knock the light on.
So, everyone can do this, and everyone has a role in doing this. Now, the third point is everyone can respond. You can respond, and I can respond. And it can be a simple response. It's about paying attention to the people we encounter this coming week. It's about seeing them and seeing how we might be of help to them. Is it a kind word? Is it a deed of listening? Is it something that's obvious that we can offer to a person? We can all do this. Everybody has a role. And everyone, you and I, can respond. Let me share with you that meeting needs of people, focusing on people and meeting their needs, it's not complicated. It's simple. And with the simple, we need to just be nimble. And so if we are nimble in meeting needs for Jesus, we will lead others to Jesus. We will be participants in growing the church for Jesus. And a lot of great things can happen for the kingdom. So it is our role, and it is now our responsibility to make the most of our lives in sharing our faith and sharing deeds of shalom. It's not real complicated. This past Labor Day, my grandson came for a visit, and my wife Karen and I, we were able to spend time with my daughter and my grandson. And he's 2 years old. And so after dinner, he has learned something. I play the guitar, and he just goes to my guitar case and he starts saying, "Sing, sing, sing." And he is ready to sing. And he will sing for an hour. And there is so much joy when we share together singing for an hour with my 2-year-old grandson. We were outside the other day, and he also did something else that was fun. He wanted to race. He wanted to race me. So he kept calling. He calls me Mac Mac. Mac Mac. And he goes over there to what we established as a starting line. And his vocabulary is growing. And he already has in his vocabulary, get ready, get set, go. So that's in the mind of a 2-year-old. But it's there for us too. When we talk about these deeds of shalom, they're going to present themselves this week. Are we ready? Will we be set? And will we not overthink it and just go? And trust Jesus that he'll use what we do for his kingdom. I began this message with a story about a person in Shalimar that has mobility issues, and they are sitting in the dark waiting for someone to change their light bulb. And I really don't know if there is someone in Shalimar that meets that criteria or not. My suspicions are there would be somebody like that, but I'm just guessing. But what I do know for sure is in Shalimar, Florida tonight, there are hundreds and perhaps thousands of people sitting in the spiritual dark. And we're the ones. We're the ones through the church that can go and turn on the light. Share the light of Jesus Christ with the persons that are living in the darkness of this world, living in the darkness of hopelessness. And it's up to us to share deeds of shalom that bring light into these dark lives and dark places. We can do this. We all have a role. And everyone, you and I, can respond. The light bulb, that's a metaphor. I'm asking you in a nimble way this week to go out in this community and turn the light of Jesus Christ on for whoever God places in our path. Get ready, get set, go.